Produced by women about women, Powerful Women Let's Talk is a series of interviews with women who are trailblazers and have helped shape our world, transforming who we are and how we live. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real.
Hello, everyone. It's time for Powerful Women Let's Talk. And thanks so much for joining us today. I'm Jennifer Moss. Today's powerful woman is Vanessa Green. She is the Chief Executive Officer of GRAHI, which, of course, is the Grand Rapids African American Health Institute. And Vanessa has extensive experience in the Grand Rapids area. Most notably, she spent 16 years in leadership positions focused on fostering diversity and inclusion at Hope College. So, Vanessa Green, we certainly welcome you to Powerful Women Let's Talk.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'm excited to be here. So, thanks for inviting me.
And we are excited to have you here. So, you have been responsible for strategic vision, planning, and the implementation of diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts with a focus on the mental and physical well-being of students, faculty, and staff of color. And you also chaired a 12-member racial equity steering committee to bring greater awareness to the issues of systemic and structural racism, as well as bring about change. Now, those are no small to-dos. That's quite the task at hand, navigating through diversity and inclusion, and of course, that has Powerful Woman written all over it. So we're going to start by talking about your work at Hope College. You know, give us an idea of what you did there, and then we're going to move on to what you're currently doing.
Well, thanks, Jennifer. Well, fundamentally, there are about four key areas of diversity, equity, and inclusion to bring about impact. And those areas are rooted in recruitment and retention. And often when we think about diversity, equity, and inclusion, we look at it in different like terminologies in terms of like what brings about the greatest change. Is it diversity? Is it equity? Or is it inclusion? And essentially, it requires all three. But the most important aspect of making change is like the commitment from those who are involved in the decision-making processes around recruitment, retention, and what are the other? Oh, promotion.
That's a lot, though. I mean, when you think about it, it encompasses a lot.
Right. Like, so when you think about recruitment, because nothing happens unless you have a critical mass of individuals who can bring about, you know, the type of diversity that really helps with equity and inclusion. Because without the composition of numbers, then it's really hard for people to come and feel included in any environment that might be, say, 85 or 90% dominant of one population. And then, and when we think about like even diversity of numbers being like 10% diverse or 15% diverse, that is essentially means that within each of the diverse populations, African Americans, so when we disaggregate those numbers to African Americans, that might mean like 3% of like Hispanic Americans, and then 3% Asian American Americans. So you're still looking at still a population that is majority white. And so it makes like equity and inclusion a lot more challenging in that fuller context.
And the fuller context is important because I think a lot of times people look at diversity as streamlined. I don't know that they're necessarily including. So diversity, they think it's like all under one umbrella, but then there is inclusion and there is equity. Right. And they have different meanings and different outcomes as well, right? I mean, that's why you have to kind of pull it all together.
Like, absolutely.
And that's very important. Right. And so you've had, what, 16 years at Hope College?
16 years, right. And fundamentally, I think that when you're looking at the smaller numbers and what is the outcome, and so everything that I did in my job was looking at what's the end result. And ultimately, the end result was for students to come in and have an experience where they felt included, where they felt valued and affirmed in order for them to succeed. And after about 3 years of my experience at Hope College, I started focusing more of my attention on student leadership and development, because it's very difficult for students to have like a full collegiate experience when they are like 3% of that population. Mm-hmm. However, they're all coming for the same goal, and that is to achieve in the discipline that they are interested in. And so I started working very specifically with corporations and partnering with corporations like Herman Miller and Spectrum Health and Mercantile Bank, and developed a leadership empowerment program where students were able to get funding through these corporations and organizations to go to conferences, to go to like graduate schools, and to develop leadership programs. We got support from multiple corporations and organizations within Grand Rapids to support our diverse student population at Hope College. And what we saw was through focusing on leadership development and affirming them in their value, mm-hmm. we saw them like aspiring and into moving on into elite graduate schools. So students of color were leaving Hope, going to schools like Princeton and Harvard.
Wonderful.
And Yale. And going into like medical fields, like one of our students who's actually from Kentwood, Michigan, David Paul, he is a neurosurgeon resident in New York now.
Wonderful.
And so we have a number of students who went on like to medical school, who have graduated from medical school or are currently in residency. One of the things that students really got involved in was public policy. So coming into a collegiate environment where, you know, diversity was so much at the core forefront of them trying to figure their identity in that type of environment, then public policy became very interesting to them, because one of the things that I try to impress upon them is anything that you see that's lacking, then how do we then impart our skills and develop our skills and interests in ways that we can make those changes. And so when you're looking at education, you're looking at healthcare, you're looking at business, any of those fields, then, you know, public policy is the area that we really need to look at how we can have influence. And so many of our students went on to graduate school programs where they got, you know, obtained their master's degrees in public policy.
And that is wonderful.
It's really wonderful. So the things that the students have achieved since leaving Hope, it's short of remarkable.
And that you can see that, Mark, and that's part of your legacy there for the work that you've done. And once mm-hmm. you did your first 3 years, and you said you started focusing in on that,
right.
Zeroing in on leadership and the like. And so you've got to be pretty proud of the work that you did there. Now we're going to fast forward to you now
yes.
being the CEO of Grahi. So tell us a little bit about that as well, because that's a big task as well. I mean, this is for the entire community of Metro Grand Rapids area. Mm-hmm. So
yes.
tell us what you're doing at Grahi.
Well, one of the things with Grahi, and when you just kind of like think about your journey and where your journey takes you in terms of your career, you know, Grahi, I believe, was just kind of like always in the making of my future in ways that I never could have like imagined. But Grahi, the core of Grahi stands within four pillars, and our four pillars pronounce care, which is what we're really all about, is caring for our community. And so our four pillars are community outreach, advocacy, research, and education. And so everything that we do are around those contexts. And within community, we're doing surveys so that we can really have a pulse on where the community is and how they're experiencing like health equity in their lives and what their needs are in ways that Grahi can support them. And we do believe in like being on the grounds, like grassroots, and being engaged in like the everyday lives and the everyday experience of our community in ways that they can build trust and know who we are.
Absolutely.
And so from advocacy, that's what we're looking at. Like we work within like the public policy areas and advocate based on our survey results and the feedback that we're getting from our community. So we're advocating within those contexts.
In the realm of what
right.
you receive back
right.
and as part
right.
of your intake.
Right.
Health equity being huge.
Yes.
In every community, but
right.
specifically here as you work with Grahi,
mm-hmm.
getting
Absolutely.
To that point. So as we talk about powerful women, have there been any barriers that you've encountered as you traveled along your career's path? And it doesn't have to be specifically related to Grahi. You've only been there a couple of
right.
months doing outstanding
right.
work already. But what barriers might you have encountered, you know, in your journey?
Right. I think that particularly as Black women, one of the things that Black women face is the stereotype of being like intimidating. And so I would say that would be one area that I've encountered, because I'm a very go-getter type person. I see things that needs to be done. I see things in ways that I can have influence. And I'm very relational and warm in the way that I approach things and thoughtful in the way that I approach things. But being a Black woman in leadership, it brings about the stigma of being intimidating. And so I have experienced that at times in meetings when I may have a different perspective or see things that needs to be
Exposed or brought
exposed, up. Right. Exposed or approached in a different way or seen from a different lens and perspective than just being at the table and having that different kind of perspective can often be perceived as intimidating. Mm-hmm. And so what happens then is that you work very hard not to be labeled in that way. And so you're always, you have a tendency of trying to reframe and frame things in a way and make sure that
you
remember to smile.
It almost takes away part of your personality,
right?
Though, because you're trying to recraft your own initial response to things and just how you look at every
right.
meeting. It's like, okay, mm-hmm. I've got to mm-hmm. make sure I don't do this or I don't
right,
do that, which
right.
is, it's really unfortunate,
which,
but it's something that you've learned that mm-hmm. you had to do.
And you have to do it because you need people to hear you, right?
Absolutely.
And you need to, you know, with the end goal in mind. And so you just kind of figure out how to navigate those kinds of things. But it is a lot of work. It's a lot of extra. It's a lot of extra. That's a good word. It's a lot of extra.
So on that road and that journey in life, we strive, all of us, you know, to move forward. Many women have said that it has taken a while to get a bit comfortable, to find that voice, your own voice, kind of to own it, getting comfortable in your own skin. How did you find yours?
Well, I think that mine has been a journey, and I actually started out in life very shy and didn't say a whole lot. And so the Vanessa that people see now and the Vanessa that people knew before is mm-hmm. like a completely different person. And I think that it was a process, and it was a process through observing like other leaders. And so a lot of things that I've learned in finding my voice is really through other leaders. And I remember when I worked for this company, it was a rehabilitation company, and I had a white female colleague, and I remember her challenging our supervisor on something. And it was just the most unimaginable thing in the world for me to see someone challenging a supervisor mm-hmm. and nothing happened. And the way, you know, and the things that she challenged were very appropriate and relevant, and it helped the supervisor to take a different approach to the situation. And so just something like that, and with that experience, that helped me to find my voice, because I saw like someone else speaking out on something that was very important
outcome.
With a positive outcome. Right. And so, and all the things that I had been, you know, brought up to think about, you know, just kind of being not challenging authority and those mm-hmm. kinds of things. Then when I started seeing other people like challenging authority and really being an asset, and their voice being an asset. And I don't see like finding your voice as being adversarial. I find it being complimentary, and I find it being like supportive, because if you don't care, then you will be the person that's going to sit back and not say anything.
Right, and but that kind of gave you the courage and the forethought to think, you know, I can do that too.
Right. Absolutely gave the courage. And then being in diversity, it's not a field that you can go into
lighthearted with a light touch.
With a light and like a passive kind of like mentality mm-hmm. because people are expecting you. And if you're going to be in that seat, then you need to make like really good use of your voice. And so being in that seat gave me a sense of responsibility. And so I had to, even when I didn't necessarily feel courageous. So you have to do things and speak out on things, even when you don't necessarily feel the courage to do so, mm-hmm. but you have to do it anyway, because you're not serving yourself. You're serving the population that you've been hired to serve.
And the last thing you want to do is to leave that meeting and then go home knowing I should have said
absolutely.
A, B, or C, and then you beat yourself up over that.
Absolutely.
And so it's very important to make those statements known mm-hmm. or those thoughts and processes known. So being the CEO of Grahai,
yes.
you of course, you know, you're working with lots of people in your organization, you are engaging the community. So what leadership traits do you like to see perhaps in those that might be with you on this journey, those you work with, or even those you mentor?
That's a really good question. In fact, just before coming here this morning, I'd launched an advisory council for the Grand Rapids African American Institute, and there are 13 people from all sectors of the community, including a representative from Holland, from Muskegon, and from Kalamazoo, who are on the council. And the trait that I look for is really passion and commitment. And I am a mentoring, nurturing leader by heart. And when I hire people and work with people, I basically like set a tone that you cannot fail, because like I'm going to work alongside you. I value the skill, the diversity of skills that people bring to the table. And so if a person has like an area that they're not fully developed in, then I'm going to work with them and get them the resources and develop them, because there are things that I'm not gifted in, right? Like mm-hmm. we all have our gifts.
Everyone has a gift.
And
yes.
we all have things that we're not. And so my leadership style is finding those areas where people are like strong in, and leaning on them in those areas,
helping
but also giving
them
opportunities
them
to develop like in other areas, because that's what I will want for myself. Like mm-hmm. when someone is supervising me, to give me the opportunity for continuous growth. So I'm an encourager, a mentor, a nurturer, and an affirmer at just by nature. And I believe in empowering. I'm not a micro. I don't want to hire people that I have to micromanage. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I believe in empowering people to live into the skills and believing that they join the organization or they're participating in the organization because they have a heart for the work.
And that's kind of goes back to what you said. Someone gave you the courage to say something. You're in developing others to have that same feeling about being able to talk about what aspects of that you're working in and maybe different ideas that may come forth in the group sessions and things
right.
along those lines, encouraging
right.
that. So what are some of the ways that you balance your work life and your personal life? I believe both of us are in the same category. Your kids are grown.
Right.
So it was harder back when, but now, how are you balancing your personal and family life? Because I know you still want to spend time with everyone. So,
right. That's a really good question. And I think balance is very important. And I tell people that work is both like professional and personal, you know, so mm-hmm. there's not a big divide in the kind of work that I do and the personal. And so I actually find work fun, if that makes any sense. Like I love what
be.
I
yeah.
do.
You sound like my husband saying that, because you know, work is fun, fun
right,
is work. Yeah.
Right. And so even in social settings, I tend to be like talking about work as well. But I love to read. I love reading. I love poetry, and I like to walk. And I am an introvert, borderline introvert, extrovert. Mm-hmm. And so at the end of the day, I love people. But at the end of the day, I need to retreat into my quiet time. And so that's kind of like how I find my balance is I need to like decompress and retreat into my private time and meditate and read.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Those are good things. And so an easy breezy question for you, but it's one of my faves. I always ask it because I think it's key. What makes you laugh?
I knew you were going to ask that question. And what makes me laugh? I like fun just in mm-hmm. general. Simple things make me laugh, like looking at a baby and a toddler just kind of like walking and is in learning to talk for the first time and the things that they say. I have a great niece who's like 3 years old, and nothing makes me laugh more than this little girl. She is like hilarious.
And they have so much energy.
They yeah. And I don't have grandkids yet, even though I have like older kids that are haven't blessed me with grandchildren yet. But I have a niece in town who has a daughter, a great niece. And I literally will just go visit them just to sit and laugh with this little girl.
And they can be very funny, absolutely.
But it doesn't take much to make me laugh, because I'm pretty lighthearted, light spirited, and I like to be around people who are not too serious in life all the time, that we can just kind of get sit around and chill and laugh a little bit.
As they say, it's good for the soul.
Yes.
So, you know, so much happening in our world today, of course. People are looking for words of encouragement. Do you by chance have any favorite sayings or mottos that encourage you or that you can pass on to others that would lend a word of encouragement, especially during, you know, everything that's going on these days? We always need a little pick me up.
Yes, yes. Wow, that's a very good question. I have a lot of favorite sayings, and I'm a quote person by nature, and I'm going to have to like think of one off the top here. But I love mantras and quotes. Yeah, this too shall pass. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, like one of the things is like, you know, nothing is new under the sun. And I think that everything that we experience is more about like our attitude and looking at like what we can do to make a difference and to always, always believe in hope.
Absolutely.
Because
this
if we
too
lose,
shall pass,
right.
those trials and
yeah,
and
like if we lose hope, we lose everything. And so mm-hmm. like even in the darkest hours and the darkest times right now that I never expected in my lifetime that we would go mm-hmm. back, you know, to the madness that we're seeing today. But I still have hope in belief that this too shall pass.
I was going to say, hope is that this too shall pass, because right. you know that whatever journey, part of the journey that may be a little bumpy for you,
right.
at some point it right. will move along.
Right. And then I think the other one is to remember, you know, to take care of ourselves, you know, like God has given all of us like a particular assignment. And so there are things that each of us can do to bring a positive impact and change in the chaos that we're seeing in the world. And so what is it that you can do?
And absolutely. Wonderful. Well, Vanessa Green, I really enjoyed this conversation. Speaking with one of our powerful women right here in West Michigan, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you again for inviting me. It was fun.
And of course, I also want to thank our listeners as well for joining us for this edition of Powerful Women Let's Talk. I'm Jennifer Moss.
Produced by Women About Women, these powerful podcasts focus on powerful women and how their strength transforms who we are and how we live. Want to hear more Powerful Women Let's Talk? Get additional interviews at wgvu.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Please rate and subscribe. Powerful Women Let's Talk is made possible in part by Family Fair, keeping it real. It is produced by WGVU at the Meyer Public Broadcast Center at Grand Valley State University. The views and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily reflect those of WGVU, its underwriters, or Grand Valley State University.